ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey fans, welcome back to another week of Wrecking and Racing. This is the Gas Man with my co-host,
Lugs.
What's up, Lugs? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Doing great. We had an exciting week of racing. I think we got a good show ahead of us. So first off, thank you fans for stopping and listening to us. I know we can annoy you at times. That's okay. We appreciate you listening. Always please email us, wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Say hi. Say what's up. Maybe we'll give you a shout out on the show. And who knows, maybe we'll have guests, you know, call into the show sometime too. And also check out our website, wreckingandracing.com. If you guys have noticed, we changed our logo, so check out our new logo, Facebook, Twitter, it's all over the place.
Fancy new logos.
Fancy, yeah, we're trying to be fancy over here.
Yeah.
So, getting into this week, as always, we start off our week with what? A nice, cold...
Busch Light.
Yeah. Official beer of NASCAR. Go ahead, get that going. All right.
So, what'd you think of Talladega?
So, Talladega, it's one of my favorite tracks. You know, I've been there probably... I've been there probably more than any other track, personally. I was, as always at Talladega, I have high hopes. This week, I feel like it kind of fell flat.
Is it because Junior wasn't in it? Your first Talladega race without Junior?
My first Talladega race without Earnhardt.
That's true. Wait, yeah, Jeffrey isn't in him anymore.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So... Junior had a big impact. Do I feel that that's the reason? No. I kind of just feel like the season as a whole so far to me has been kind of a lull. Has kind of not been fascinating. It's not been horrible, but it's not been fascinating either.
No real exciting headlines or unfolding, you know, incredible storylines or, you know, however you want to label it.
But I mean, there's some cool storylines, but there's also... The actual race in itself, there's nothing to really brag about.
Yeah, I think part of Sunday's race you could attribute to the rules package a little bit.
Sure, I agree, because they didn't really 100% know what they were getting with that restrictor plate cut down.
And real...
Thanks,
real,
McMurray, for giving us restrictor plate restrictions even more.
Made a real late, you know, rule change on that. But, you know, NASCAR erred on the side of caution.
No pun
intended there, but... You know, it was scary seeing Jamie crash the way he did. But
yeah, that was pretty fascinating crash. Fascinating as in visual, you know, effects of it, not so much like what happened. Because, you know, we never hope for anyone to get hurt.
Right.
But definitely looked pretty...
Scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I didn't even realize it and that they had the roof hatches back. Did you realize that?
Once Logano stood out of it.
Yeah, I never saw any, like, headlines or information about it. All of a sudden...
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert, I just saw Logano in Victory Lane. He won the race, by the way.
Yeah. So, he pops out in Victory Lane, and I didn't even know. So, I don't know if that was really well publicized or they just didn't mean to or what, but...
Haven't they always been there and we just don't talk about it, or did they take them away for a while?
I thought they went away, but heck, I mean, I don't know. Could be. They could have been there the whole time, and I just was none the wiser. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Very true. So, as we just said, Logano won the race, kind of... It wasn't a shock. I mean, I wasn't really picking him to win the race, but I mean, it's not really a shock.
We knew Penske was going to be tough.
Yes.
We knew the Fords were going to be tough. They showed that. They proved that.
And hell, once he got the lead, it's not like anybody was really passing or trying for the lead, it looked like.
Right.
So we'll get to that in a little bit, actually. So, winner was Logano. Takeaways from the race before we get into news and stuff about the race. Like, anything that stood out to you? Any person, event, the racing itself? You know, what's your thoughts on that, Lugs?
I mean, I didn't think it was a terrible race. I mean, it was a good Talladega race, I feel like. You know, you saw the inevitable big one, although it wasn't your typical issue that starts it with contact. It was an aero issue that kicked off the entire crash whenever Johnson lost control, got loose, and... He was right above Byron there and just kind of looked like the air got shuffled around and Johnson lost it. So it wasn't your typical couple cars getting into each other, or bouncing off each other, and then setting it off. It was an aero issue. So kind of more like a handling type issue like you see at Daytona maybe. So in that regards, I thought Talladega was a little bit different. You know, you're not used to seeing that very much at Talladega. You're more about raw speed, not so much handling there usually, but
yeah. Definitely the beating, banging, the Talladega, you know, 2 inches apart. We got a little bit of that, but I don't think we had a lot of that.
Mm-mm. A lot of handling woos, I think, more than anything.
And maybe, you know, maybe they were a little bit more cautious because of that, you know, not having that feeling underneath them. They had fresh tires. They were a little bit more aggressive, you know, making the center work or going from switching from lane to lane. But overall, I was a little disappointed.
Well, and I think, again, going back to that rules package, I think that had something to do with it because everybody kept saying, well, you know, no one tried to get up there and pass Logano. I don't agree with that at all. Every one of those guys wanted to pass Logano. But
did they?
They couldn't. They couldn't. For one, you could see the gaps between the cars. You had to have momentum. You had to back up to the person behind you to get a run going. That's where they failed to do it. So whether it was the rules package or it just didn't materialize or they didn't plan accordingly, whatever the situation is there, they all wanted to go up and pass Logano. It just didn't happen.
I'm not sold that they did. And I think, okay, let me retract that a little bit. I think every race in their mind wants to win.
Here's what I think, and this has been the case a lot of restrictor plate races. They wait too damn long.
Yeah, yeah.
To make moves. They wait till a lap and a half. And I get it. You're sitting second. You don't want to pull out with 10 to go. I get that. But it's like, come on. You know, more people than it meet further back, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, top 10.
Take a chance.
Yeah, get going. Don't run single file till the last lap. Like, that kind of irked me a little bit.
It did. And I'm going to give you a quote from driver Chase Elliott. After the race, I think everybody here knows who Chase is. After the race, Chase was asked about the racing towards the victory. And this is what he said. I was really surprised with how patient they were being with one another. Really thought they would want to win a little more than what they did, or at least showed to me. And that was reference to the Ford drivers that were in front of them.
Yeah.
So is that
any manufacturer alliance there?
Possibly.
Think that had something to do with
I think I don't. Yes and no. I would say that they're a little bit more hesitant because of that. But you did see Kurt. As
Kurt
only
tried.
One attempted.
Yeah, he passed his own teammate.
And Chase did make a good move from, you know, there at the last turn four to the finish line. He went from like 6th to 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, cut in front of Harvick barely there at the flag. So I think what Chase was trying to say is that this was referencing the Fords and mainly the Fords, but essentially. They weren't willing to take that risk. They were hesitant. They were too hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they were wanting to, but no one actually took that initiative to jump out line and try to get the outside group going. Like I said, Chase did step out and try, but other than him, it was pretty much it.
Right. And, yeah, I agree with that notion. I will read you a stat here. This Talladega had 25 lead changes. This is the fewest since we had 20 in 1998. Got any thoughts on that?
I'm not shocked. I really felt like once a person got in the lead, it was almost impossible to pass. Now, you remember the year, what year was it when there was a tandem where you had to have two cars all over the track, two cars were everywhere, 2011, passing.
2012, yep.
I mean, they were just passing each other left and right.
Right.
So, I think there's a nice median somewhere between that and what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
To bring the competition for, or at least the passing, the excitement, you know, as fans. Okay, from a racer standpoint, it probably went by how you want it to go. Little wrecks, little cautions, racing. As fans, let's be honest, we want wrecks. We want racing. We want beating. We want banging. We want
a close,
you know,
finish.
We want a finish of 0.001 seconds.
Right, and that didn't happen. But
no.
You know, could have been worse, you know. He could have won by a straightaway or something, you know. Who knows or whatnot. Or so going back to that stat, fewest lead changes since 20 in 1998. The last 7 races, 30 lead changes, 26, 31, 37, 30, 27, 38, up to 20 on Sunday. So it's kind of stayed pretty level the last 7 races. Until, you know, significant decline Sunday.
So what was that decline from?
I mean, I would have to attribute it to the rules package, maybe. I don't
know.
I mean,
that's about the only difference, right?
So from 2005 to 2014, every single one of those races had a minimum of 50 lead changes.
Holy smokes. That's what we're used to at Talladega.
Yeah, so double the amount of lead changes we saw Sunday. At least double the amount. Hmm. So pretty, you know, crazy stats there. One more. Logano led the last 42 laps there at Talladega. That's the third most consecutive laps that a leader's ever led to the checkered flag. Logano is the also holds the second highest total, 45, in his October 23rd of 2016 win.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Guess who holds the third spot?
Richard Petty.
Nope.
I figure it'd be some old timer.
Nope. Davey Allison led the last 71 on May 3rd of 1992. So, kind of interesting information there. You don't typically see a leader hold on to the lead that long at Talladega.
On any track, almost, let alone Talladega.
Yeah, absolutely. So, pretty crazy stats there.
Crazy stats. It kind of makes you wonder why NASCAR made the changes they made. You know, these rule packages, they tended kind of have an idea what's going to happen and test them. If they don't test them, they shouldn't implement them,
but,
in my opinion.
But who's to say they didn't make the right move? I mean, we didn't see any cars flip after the
I guess,
changed.
You know, from the safety standpoint, sure. But at what point do we say enough is enough? And I don't want to put myself in their shoes for the safety aspect because I get it. It is a dangerous sport. As a fan, this is me speaking directly as a fan who likes to watch it be visually entertained on TV. Mm-hmm. At what point do they draw the line? Because, I mean, if they really want to make it safe, they put rubber around the car and let them go 25 miles per hour. At what point do we keep that from happening? At what point do they let them racers race?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's debatable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just frustrating. It is very, very frustrating. And, okay, let me throw this to your way here, Log. So, let's say someone who's never watched NASCAR before. Let's mm-hmm. say they're F1 or car, whatever, IRL, whatever it is. And they've watched them in the past. They turn on Talladega to watch their first NASCAR race. How did they leave that feeling? Or what was your feeling when they turned
any
off the
Talladega race or Sundays?
This one.
I can't see how you would be able to argue the fact that it was an entertaining, great race when you hold it to the standards of F1 or Indy or drag racing or whatever the
case
is.
Or even NASCAR of the past.
Yeah. It was still an entertaining race, but it wasn't the Talladega of the past that we're used to.
So you have a friend that you've talked this race up and talked this race up and said, hey, this is the race. Watch it. They turn it on
and
watch it.
And then the last 42 laps, Logano leads every lap.
Yeah. Okay, let's just be honest here. And we are fans, but at points, NASCAR does feel like a sinking ship. What are they going to do to change this? What do they need to do to change this? Because if they're wanting to increase their fan base, races like this is not going to do that.
You obviously got to tinker with the rules package, but you got a box. They've built themselves into a box, so to speak. They've got X amount of tools to use to play with, to set up the cars, to say what the cars can or can't have. Not a lot of options. So if there was one way to fix it, then do it. But.
Yeah, my question is a little bit more rhetorical than actually asking you for the solution, because we don't have a solution. We're talking heads on a show that we have. As a fan, you know, it's just frustrating. And obviously NASCAR's not going to listen to us anyway, so we're not going to have the answer, we're not going to have the solution, but we're going to bitch about it. I mean, we are. That's part of our show, that's part of what we do. But we do have to question the authority in aspects like this. I would just like to see a little bit more come from NASCAR. At least discussing it. You know, it's the elephant in the room. They don't want to address it, it seems like to me. And it just kind of ticks me off. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just a personal feeling that I have and I'm completely wrong with this. And
so what defines a successful race at Talladega for you? Is it getting back to the 50 lead changes?
It's hard to put a metric on it to measure it.
Right. So that's what makes
it's
it so...
It's the stimulation. It's the emotional aspect. That's why we go to movies, right? We how do you grade movies? We grade movies based on the emotion or our feelings based on it. I mean, there's no metric on well someone acts or how, you know, they play their character. It's on what it does for us as a person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to see. I mean, NASCAR, they've got the, they're putting the restrictor plates on the cars for the All-Star race. So they're trying new things, but was Talladega a step in the right direction? No.
Absolutely not. Yeah. So let's stop dwelling on that because I'm going to end up getting real pissed off. Logano wins. We had the big one. The big one was 14 cars. Now, it wasn't really, to me, it wasn't really that big of a big one, but it did have some key players involved.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Busch, Johnson, Keselowski, Ryan Blaney, Paul Menard. The only reason I bring up Menard as a key person is being a super speedway. Bubba was involved. Austin Dillon, who was our Daytona 500
to
champion.
To be fair, Austin Dillon was not really involved in the crash. He cut through the grass. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
He cut through the grass and hit like some sort of divot or sewage or drain or something. It totally screwed up his car, man. Kind of feel bad, you know. Had it not been for that, he might have gotten through it unscathed.
Yeah, go low, go low. Oh, crap, don't go low.
Yeah.
Too low, too low. So, what is your feeling on it? I mean, do you feel like that the big one was the big one? Do you feel like that was just right? Or do you,
what? I don't think it was a typical big one. No, I don't think it was a typical big one. I don't know if I attribute that to the fact that it was an aero issue or that it could have been avoided entirely, kind of. I don't know. It's always coulda, woulda, shoulda. But Johnson came down and got into Byron. Byron hooked it back up the track. I'm not the race car driver, obviously, but I would have cocked my wheels left and tried to spin it down to the bottom, and he had his wheels cut to the right, and he went back up the track when after Menard made contact with him, and then that's when the rest of it ensued. So
yeah,
it's kind of a vertible crash in my eyes, but again, I'm not the one out there on the track, and I can't say because I wasn't in the driver's seat. It was kind of like one of those, come on, guys.
So
what'd you think?
I thought it was, my prediction last week was that we weren't going to see the big one. I felt like I was halfway right on that. We did see a big one, but it wasn't in my eyes what I would usually, I mean, okay, out of the 14 cars involved, how many got damaged? Only about half of them. The other one spun and just didn't hit anything, get any damage or anything. So I kind of, I don't know, maybe I just, the danger factor is taken away too much on this race. That's why I'm feeling this way. Fans, tell you what, once you email us, tweet us, Facebook us, tell us your thoughts on it. We would love to hear.
Not only on that wreck, but the whole overall Talladega race. What was your
thoughts? Whole season, too. Don't stop there. Give us the whole breakdown. We want to hear. We want to converse with the other fans. Because maybe we're completely off. Maybe we're out here in Podunk, where we're from, in our bubble. And everybody else in the world thinks differently what we do. And that's okay. I mean, we have a show to discuss these things. And we need fans to reach out to us and talk to us about their thoughts and feelings on it. So please, wreckingandracing@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter. You can find us pretty much everywhere. Reach out to us. So talk about Talladega. You cannot talk about Talladega without talking about senior or junior.
You can.
You can't. You can't.
You can. Because neither one of them were in that race Sunday, but it was Earnhardt's birthday, so I'll give you this one.
Yes, so this past week was Earnhardt's birthday.
Are you proud that I knew that stat?
Yeah,
Are you proud of me, Gasman?
Hey, I know Jeff Gordon's birthday, so so there is that aspect, and I do want to say a belated birthday to Lugs himself.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. So, moving on, while I was talking about a senior and junior, did you see Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s, that room he stayed in at Talladega?
No, I didn't.
I don't know where it was, but it looked like a kid's room. It had a Dale Sr. posters up, Dale Sr. curtains, Dale Sr. Wall border, up along the ceiling.
Stenhouse, this was his room growing up?
No, this was some place he stayed at right before the race. Like, he slept in this room that was like an Earnhardt room, and it looked like a kid's room, like what I would have had as a kid. With posters and stuff up. So I didn't know if he's seen that. He is a huge Dale Sr. fan, and he was hoping to harness the power of senior and win this race. And he didn't do bad. I mean, he finished fifth.
Yeah, he was right there in contention.
Yeah. So he's definitely one of the people who were up front that wanted to win. He just didn't have anybody to go with.
Yeah. Speaking of, I'm going to interject real quick here. Talked last week with Bain, right? Being on the out soon of the six for some races.
Yeah.
Bain didn't have a very good day. He was involved in a crash. The first crash that involved McMurray and Larson. So he was gathered in that one.
Yeah, he finished 38th.
With Truex, yeah. So not the bounce back or race he was hoping to, you know, kind of...
calm the critics?
Yeah, shut up the critics would be a good way to put it, yeah. So unfortunately didn't do himself any favors or get the monkey off his back there, but... maybe at Dover this weekend. I think, you know, Kenseth takes over at Kansas, so he's got one more shot.
Right. Yep. And I mean, you can't really compare apples to apples with Bain and Kenseth either, so.
No, but I think, you know, again, he wants to go out, prove himself.
Yeah, he needs to. He's a super nice guy.
Yeah.
He comes off as a super nice guy. Talented. Obviously, he's talented more than I am, or I'd be racing, right? But... he's probably not the most talented driver out there. Other than that Daytona 500, what has he done?
True.
I mean, that's what kept his career going, was that one race. Mm-hmm. As we all know, look at David Gillen. He won that Xfinity race, and that shot him up into, you know, jobs
Cup
and
series,
stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we all know that one race can really do it for someone. Someone like Spencer Gallagher. Did you see that Spencer Gallagher won the Xfinity race?
I did, and then I also saw some other news yesterday.
Well, why don't we go today?
It was today.
So why don't we go ahead and discuss that?
Go ahead.
Okay, so for fans who do not know or have not heard the news, we'll break it to you here. Spencer Gallagher, winner of the Xfinity race this past weekend at Talladega, was busted for a legal substance abuse.
Violating the substance abuse policy, essentially.
Yes, yeah. So He pulled out his inner Jeremy Mayfield and violated this substance abuse. A.J. Allmendinger.
Yeah, too. Yeah. So he has pledged his faith to, you know, completing NASCAR's Road to Recovery program. So good for him, you know, but who's to say where this is going to lead him? It's got a giant step backwards.
Oh, huge. From one of the biggest days of your life to one of the lowest days of your life.
Yeah, come at a worse time, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, and he kind of, I guess in a way, brought it on, well, obviously brought it on himself, but did you hear his Victory Lane speech?
Yeah, he's going to party like it's 1999.
Yeah.
I think he might have partied a little too hard.
A little too much, yeah.
Like
so
maybe in the 1960s or something.
So, Spencer, those words you said may have just bit you in the ass, too. Just to let you know, because that does not look too well going on with what just happened. So, let's just go ahead and get into the other news of the week, and, you know, let's just talk about, you know, work our way up to Dover.
Yeah, I think, real quick on that note, I think they're speculating Johnny Sauter to jump in that car.
Johnny Sauter?
Yeah.
That's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, that's, you know, the speculation
thing,
I saw.
The only thing that'd be cooler if they brought back Johnny Benson. Now that would be cool.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. So one thing that I did not hear this week, which kind of shocked me.
Pit gun issues.
Hey, this might be the first week we can truly not talk about pit gun issues, but we're still talking about not talking about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, no pit gun issues. So what was the difference from all these weeks previous to this week?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Nitrogen. Remember the mandating of nitrogen? So weeks previous to this week, teams could use whatever gas. The guns were supposed to run on nitrogen, but other teams were using other gases to try to run the equipment. This week, NASCAR mandated, starting at Talladega, you have to use nitrogen on the pit guns. So did that fix the issues?
Or was it an anomaly?
And what I'm getting to is, how many pit stops do we have compared to other tracks? Don't we have less at Talladega than we
usually
have?
Probably. I mean, I would say so, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even have the figure or number.
I felt like we had... I mean, we had less cautions, everything else. I felt like we didn't... Because a lot of teams were having pit stops, but they weren't changing tires.
Mm-hmm.
We had teams over like 100 laps on left side tires.
Yeah, yeah.
So I felt like there's a lot less use of the pit guns. And that could be why the numbers also looked in favor to NASCAR for this weekend for that change that they made. We'll see going forward. I do have breaking news. I'll go ahead and bring it up. I was going to wait.
Do you? What is it?
That a royal baby was born. And I'm not talking about the British royal baby. I'm talking about NASCAR's royal baby. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Junior?
Yeah, Junior and Amy had their little girl. Do you have the name?
Is it Isla?
Isla, I think is how you pronounce it. I-S-L-A.
Yeah.
Isla Rose, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Earnhardt, yeah. So congratulations, Dale, if you're listening to the show. We're big fans, at least I'm a big fan, a big supporter. Lugs, not so much, but, you know, I can't.
Hey, I'm a supporter.
He had your dad fifth or fourth on our top 10 list. He does not know what he's talking about, Dale Jr.
Quit crying about that. Get over it.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to our episode, our top 10, because I was furious with that episode. Definitely check it out. What other kind of news we got this week?
Bubba Wallace announced a new sponsor.
Oh, yeah? About that? I did not. Tell me all about it.
Worldwide Technology is the name.
Isn't that called the internet?
Worldwide Internet. No, no, the internet's not sponsoring Bubba. But primary sponsor for 6 races, so good for them. Starts in Kansas. Also going to cover some bigger races like Indy and the Roval. The Roval and the Roval. Charlotte.
Are we excited about the Roval?
I'm excited.
I guess I'm intrigued. I don't know if I would use the word excited, but I'm intrigued.
Now that we bring that up, I'm going to shift into that subject. So they had a tire test. Paul Menard had a tire test there this week, yesterday, the first. He's got a lot of concerns about the lack of grip there. He thinks it's going to be a crash fest.
In that case, it might be good.
Yeah. So he said that it's really hard.
Is that in the chase?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was during the chase. It is during the chase, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think it's a cutoff. It's either kickoff or cutoff race, one of the two.
That could really be interesting.
But he said the cars have very, small amount of grip. The cars are very hard to rein in if they get out of control. There's lots of places to go off the track. But it's not like typical, Sonoma where you have a gravel pit. There's walls there, around. So
might hurt a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not simple. Get off the course, lose a couple positions, or get stuck in the sand.
Is this a configuration that they've used with other cars and it's just now opening it up to the Monster Energy series? Or is this a whole new concept?
Yeah, it's a whole new concept. And they've made a few amendments. So they had an original test there. The drivers critiqued it, said, hey, you need to take out a couple of turns, a couple of hairpins, and did that. Still, they're saying it's going to be pretty crazy. His quote here, he said, you are by yourself trying to make lap times, and it's very hairy. I wrecked here in the March test. So did both Kyles. So there's no room for error. You try to push a little harder, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You get 39 other guys out here, it's going to escalate it, and it will be survival for sure.
Let's be honest. They're not going to get 39 other guys.
Okay, 37.
Okay. Other guys, probably 35 other guys. Probably 36 cars enter for that race.
I don't know. It's a home race, so, your small teams don't have to travel far. You might get 40. I don't know.
I doubt it. If it was a regular oval race and a roval race, then I would agree with you. But being a road course, essentially, then I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have 40 cars this week. That's all day.
Did we? Yeah. Okay. He said
Kyle Larson finished 40th, by the way, just for race notes.
Was he?
Yeah.
He said, also Menard continued, you can go off on the dirt and come back on at Sonoma. Here, there are just walls all around. It makes it hard to find the limit. If you go over it, it's really hard to bring it in without tearing something up. I guess that's the tough part about it. I'm excited for it.
Okay, let me throw a question your way.
Shoot.
Paul Menard, do we really trust his expertise?
I will give the guy this. He doesn't crash a lot of cars.
That's true. I guess there is a level of competitiveness that he doesn't have, but that's true. He does not crash a lot. But he is not known as a road course king either.
True. It's going to be a giant unknown regardless. Yeah. So.
It could be a good episode that week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it will.
All right. Other news this week. So one of the lower series that NASCAR worked with pretty close. A lot of people started this series or worked in this series before coming over to the actual Cup Series or just NASCAR in general, was ARCA. ARCA stands for, I think it's like American Racing Car Series or American Racing Car Association, is what it was. NASCAR acquired ARCA as a development feeder league for NASCAR or for the bigger series. What's your take on that?
I don't know. I'm scratching my head. Strategy move, obviously, but what's the underlying element there? What's the goal?
I mean, they had the Whelen series and their Legends.
You've got the European series. You've got lots of other branches of NASCAR.
Yeah, so I don't understand the move, but there might be more of a...
Yeah, something we don't know about that's forthcoming, obviously. So I'm curious to see how it shakes out. I'm not saying I'm opposed to it by any means, so... we'll see what happens.
Okay, in other news, this is an interesting tidbit. It's not really so much news as just interesting information that I was unaware. And a fan pointed out, I think it was on Twitter, how the 88, when Dale Jr. drove it, the numbers, the 88 leaned forward. With Bowman, the 88 leans backwards.
Does it lean forward? It leaned forward?
It did lean
forward. Show me your tattoo.
I don't have a tattoo. I have a tattoo. I do not have a Dale Jr. tattoo or a Dale Sr. tattoo.
Just a Bowman tattoo. Sorry.
Okay. Maybe one of these days. You never know. Essentially, they asked Jr. about this. Why is Bowman's number...
I never noticed it. Did you notice
it? I didn't notice it until they brought it up. I was like, oh, man, that's true. I never noticed it until I read that. Hmm. So here's the reasoning behind it. Dale Sr.'s car number... The three also leaned forward. He told Junior when he was a kid that the numbers need to be leaning forward to represent a person running hard. You know, it kind of makes sense. So
charging forward.
Yes. So Hendrick's team, all the numbers lean backwards except for Dale Junior when he raced there. Mm-hmm. And Junior said he had to fight Hendrick a couple times on making changes because they kept wanting to put the numbers leaning backwards. He didn't want that.
Really?
So anyway, that's just an interesting tidbit.
Yeah, that's a cool fact that I never knew about.
Yeah.
Or even noticed, for that matter.
We do have some sad news this week. Lugs, why don't you talk to us about that?
Yeah, James Hilton. He was, old school NASCAR racer. He was a 1966 Rookie of the Year. Passed away this week. He was 83. Last win was at Talladega in 72.
So interesting, win and then being this weekend.
Yeah, it's crazy how the stars align like that. But some sad news, he passed away.
His son,
they were in a tragic car accident. So thoughts and, everything out to their family. And
thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, hopefully everyone remembers him for all he did.
He was just in the news about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago maybe, where he was going to try to make a race. Because we're joking about Morgan Shepherd. And then it came out that this guy, who's actually older than Morgan Shepherd, was going to try to make a race. And I don't think it was going to be Monster Series, but I think it may have been
Extreme. Well, I remember him attempting a Daytona qualifying race. And I remember them calling him out. He was either in his late 60s or early 70s. And he was attempting a cup race at Daytona. That's pretty crazy. Good for him.
Yeah, so definitely thoughts and prayers.
He went out doing, what he wanted to do, and, was obviously an integral part to the sport.
He owned an ARCA car, mm-hmm. I read, as well. So I guess you would call it a NASCAR ARCA car now.
Yeah, I guess
but,
so.
But, yeah, anyway, the Hilton family, there's a lot of call-outs to him and his family on the different social media sites this week. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't a huge knowledge base about Mr. Hilton. But with the way it sounds, that he was very integral to the sport and a very respected man.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely sad news for that.
Yeah.
Any other things to touch on before we move on?
No, I think news for the week, that pretty much wraps that up. You want to run down current standings now after Talladega?
Sure. Well, first, let's go over the top five at Talladega. That was Logano winning, Kurt Busch second, Elliott third, Harvick fourth, Stenhouse fifth. Couple other notes on this. Bubba finished 16th. Byron finished 29th due to his wreck.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Larson finished last at 40. Eric Jones, 39th.
Let's throw an attaboy to David Reagan, man. He came home 6th.
Yeah, and Chris Buescher's 11th.
11th, yep.
So yeah, good job to them.
For those guys.
Yeah, Dillon, 15th. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about the finishes, what about last week's pick? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's review that. Let's see here. You had selected Harvick as the winner and Almirola as your dark horse, which you fared pretty well. Harvick came home 4th. Almirola came home 7th. So I think you beat myself and Sokka, the guest speaker, last week. So kudos there.
Yeah, do you have Sokka?
Sokka had Elliott as his pick, and Kurt Busch is his dark horse, so he was really good, too.
Actually he's second and third.
Yeah, he beat you, actually.
He's second and third. So, Sokka, if you're listening, man, good job. Reach out to us at rankingandracing@gmail.com, so we can tell you congrats. Good job on that one.
And then myself, I didn't fare too well. I had Keselowski as my main pick, which his teammate, Penske teammate, Logano, took the win. But Keselowski crashed out. He did win a stage, though. And Bowman, my dark horse, he came home eighth. So not too
33rd for Keselowski.
Yeah, I mean, but,
but he would have been a lot better.
He was up there, yeah. And he would have been in contention had he, you know, crashed out. But been in that big one, so.
Okay, moving on for the standings. Kyle Busch continues to be the top dog. Logano is second. Harvick third. Bowyer fourth. Busch fifth. Couple of key people. We're talking about rookie of the year race, right? So Byron is 20th and Bubba's 22nd.
Yeah, this is based off of points though, right?
Again, not victories. Yeah. This is points only.
Yep.
So there is we go off victories and bonus and stuff like that. It is a little bit different.
Yeah. So let's shift it here a little bit. After 10 races, okay, so let's break down the playoff standings essentially. So who's in, who's out. So your rundown 1 through 16, these are your drivers that would be in the chase if it started this weekend at Dover. Kyle Busch, number 1, Harvick, 2, Logano, 3rd, Truex, 4th, Bowyer, 5th, Dillon, 6th. They all have race wins. Then you go by points and stage wins. So Kurt Busch, 7th, Keselowski, 8th, Hamlin, 9th, Ryan Blaney, 10th, Larson, 11th, Almirola, 12th, Bowman, 13th, Jones, Eric Jones, 14th, Johnson, 15th, and Stenhouse, 16th. Now, here's your four drivers outside, rounding out the top 20. Newman, 17th, Elliott, 18th, Menard, 19th, Byron, 20th. Knowing that rundown, Gasman, who, if anybody, is going to fall out and who's going to move in before we start the chase?
I definitely think Chase will move in.
By points or win?
I think by win. I think he'll get a win. And I think Byron will make him by points. Because Byron's been consistent. He just had a couple of bad luck
issues. Yeah, until it didn't help him. Yeah. He's only 15 points out. So, essentially, he probably would have been in had he not been in that Talladega crash.
Right. So, I think those two will make it in. Who's going to get bumped, though, is the bigger question. I think Stenhouse and Eric Jones is going to get bumped.
Yeah, I actually was going to say Jones myself. But that's tough, you know?
It is tough. It's tough because Stenhouse is having probably one of the better seasons consistently.
Yeah. And, you know, Almirola, I don't see him go anywhere. He's been really consistent. He's 12th. Bowman, I think he can be consistent enough to stay in the top 16. You got Johnson there, 7-time. How can you rule him out? You know, but so that essentially that leaves Jones and Stenhouse. You know, I don't see Newman making it in. He's right there on the cusp, though. He's only 3 points out of it. So, I mean, he could shock us all and get another win like he did at Phoenix last year.
Right.
Again, no offense, but Paul Menard, 11 points out. I don't necessarily see that happening, but, hey, anything's possible.
And so. Just think, somebody like a Paul Menard pulls out another victory. So
that
these
Pocono,
these,
like
these
Blaney
people, yeah, these people we're not expecting pulls out a victory.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're automatically in. It kind of really shuffles things up. So, the thing with the chase format right now is you really don't have a clue. I mean, yeah. It could be week to week. We still have another Dega. That's in the chase.
No, that's
isn't
in the chase. Yeah. Yeah.
We at least have Daytona.
Daytona,
still.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's kind of a big question mark and a wild card. So, talking about points, base points, and not. The standings for the chase currently. Chase Elliott sits 18th, but if you take out his penalties, he'd be 12th, right behind 11th.
Oh wow!
So that could come back to really haunt his team.
Yeah, but he's only, even if you look at the playoff version, he's only 8 points out. Even if he doesn't get a victory, he's been consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think, was it last year?
You
he
could
was in
argue,
top three for a lot of the season.
Yeah, you could argue he's the banner Chevrolet. Out of everybody out there.
Bowman kind of looks like it. Larson.
Yeah.
But I think you're right, though. I think Elliott probably is the banner Chevrolet.
All right. So, let's see here. So, we went over picks for last week.
Talk about Dover. What's our picks for Dover?
Let's see here. So, I actually didn't pick anything for Dover. So, I'm going to let you pick first this week.
Okay.
Make sure I don't steal your driver and you get angry again. And,
yeah. That's okay. It actually worked in my favor last week. So, so this week, I was talking about Elliott making it in with the win, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this week I actually had Chase Elliott winning.
Yeah.
To get into that playoffs that we were talking about, I'll kind of throw some stats at you. And since 2016, so four races, he's averaged 3.25 as his average finish.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
That is very impressive.
Almost won that race last fall.
Yeah.
And he got passed by Kyle Busch with like two to go or one to go or something crazy like that. So
I think I have Chase down to win this race. And my dark horse, you're not going to believe this one, Daniel Suarez.
Really?
He's only raced there twice, but his average finish is seventh.
Hmm. Well, good for him.
So that's, you know,
he needs a good run.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's my dark horse. Kind of compare it to his teammate, Eric Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Eric's 13.5 average finish.
Okay.
So just like I said, just kind of two races, you know, both last year. So just kind of throwing it out there for you.
Okay.
So that's my two cents word for my two people.
Okay. So Elliott and Suarez. So I am going to go my main pick this week.
Jimmy Johnson or Kyle Busch.
You know, I thought about Johnson. I did. It was actually between Harvick and Busch, but I'm going to go with Harvick. I don't know what his stats are specifically at Dover, but my dark horse, I'm actually going to go with Eric Jones. And the reason why is concrete track, just like Bristol's concrete track, and Jones traditionally runs well there. So hoping maybe some of that will translate to his run at Dover this weekend. So those are my picks.
Yeah, I think those are solid picks. I did compare Jones to Suarez. I was actually kind of surprised by the stats I looked up with that in that respect, because I was actually thinking Jones myself. But anyway, we'll see where that leads us to.
Yeah, for sure.
So you know what? Fans, feel free to reach out to us. Tell us your picks.
Yeah, let us know what your picks are.
Who you think's going to win? Who you think your dark horse is going to be? And try to step outside the box. Don't choose, you know, if you're a Harvick fan, don't choose Harvick every single week. Try to think about the stats. Try to think of it from an analytical standpoint on who you think.
Yeah. So I have one more question for you, Gasman.
Yes, sir.
So I saw this poll. It was actually on NBC or NASCAR and NBC. Who of these four drivers are going to find victory lane first? Johnson, Keselowski, Hamlin, or Larson?
That's actually a pretty tough one.
It is. It is.
Man, see, well, I'm trying to think of the races we have coming
because
up.
Because none of them have really stepped up and wowed us this season, but at any point, they could all, any one of them, break through.
One of those four are going to win Kansas.
One of those four are going to win Kansas.
Yes.
All right. I remember that next week when we're making our picks for Kansas. You better write that down. Make sure you don't pick someone out of those four.
I'm going to say Keselowski.
Think Keselowski will find it first?
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good assumption. I don't see Hamlin doing it just because Hamlin's always around, it seems like, 6th to 12th, but he's not been up there leading a lot of laps. Keselowski has won some stages. Obviously, Johnson could bust through at any moment. And Larson's so hot and cold right now. I don't know.
And that started towards the end of last season.
Yeah.
He started there in the chase. He just started hitting these cold streaks all of a sudden. And it's kind of, I think it's kind of lingered.
Yeah.
I think some of it might be mental.
So, I don't know what Larson's track record at Dover. I didn't look it up before I even posed this question or anything. But I think the next strong point for him would be Kansas. He has the potential of being a factor at Kansas. But I'm with you. I think out of those four, Keselowski's probably going to get it first.
We actually agree on something.
We do. Someone write this down. It's the first time in history, possibly.
It is kind of shocking.
All right. Well, that's all I got, Gasman. How about you?
Yeah, that's all I have, too. It's been a great week. A lot of stuff. It's coming out of this race, not feeling like we're going to have a whole lot to talk about. And actually, it's turned out we did.
Yeah. Now we're off to the Monster Mile. See what happens there.
It could be very exciting. I actually love Dover. I like racing it on the different gaming systems that we do. I like watching it. I really do like Dover.
Yeah, really fast. A lot of banking.
Yeah.
Elevation.
Nice. So good luck to all the racers out there. Fans, reach out to us as always. WreckingRacing@gmail.com. WreckingRacing.com. Twitter, Facebook, yada, yada, yada. You guys know all that stuff. Please reach out and say hi. Maybe we'll say your name on the air, talk to you. You never know. Give us some money. We might actually have you call in or something, you know. Wink, wink, wink. Donations, website, WreckingRacing.com. So anyway, thanks again, fans. As always, we love you guys.
Have a good week.
Yep. See ya.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.